from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that puts the swirly Sue and curly Q in the Merly Moo and Pearly Poo in the Goofy Goo, Smurly Moo? Smurly, oh, I already said Swirly Sue. Oh, no, that was Swirly Sue. She was a bridesmaid at the Peggy Sue's wedding, Swirly Sue. She ran off with the, I don't know if she ran off with the bouquet or the cake, it was just a teaspoon. Okay, well, anyway, what am I talking about? Good question. But I'll tell you what, I'm the podcast who cares about you. Getting some sleep, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could keep listening through the credits and then start drifting off, because these are the ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Hey, make sure you listen close. We're talking about tonight's new sponsor in the middle of tonight's show. It's a Quip electric toothbrush with sensitive sonic vibrations, a 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds so you get your whole mouth clean. And I'm going to be talking to Stan about it. Stan, what do you think about Quip? Scooter, I love brushing my teeth with Quip. Oh boy, do I, Scooter. Stan, how can the listeners get a free refill pack? Scooter, they just go to getquip.com/sleep. Quip starts at $25, and they get the refill pack free. Just go to getquip.com/sleep and sign up, Scooter. Thanks, Stan. Thanks, everybody, and on with the show. Hey, Mr. Bard, I just want to say that. Hey, Mr. Bard, who works on the show?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want. SleepWithMePodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Remember, You can help people share the podcast. You say, hey, listen in your smart speaker. Just say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. And they can test it out there. They can even set their sleep timer. And I believe that is it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature. Yeah, whatever it is that's keeping you awake. You know, stuff you're thinking about, stuff you're feeling, stuff you're experiencing, or travel, or whatever. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. Repetitive podcast introductions. I'd also like to keep you company. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous dialogue, and talking, lots of talking, tangents upon tangents. So tangential, you forget what I was, tangerine tangents, all that's a new thing I'm working on. Tangerine-infused tangents with that citrus flavor, sweet, sweet, sweet tangerine tangents. Maybe that could be another name if I get it, if I became like if I was in a showgirl outfit, I would like to be Tangerine Tangents. And they could, you know, say now, you know, next up is, or maybe people would meet me and they'd see me with, you know, with the whole, the legs and the things and the feathers, like the thing behind you that like fans or whatever. And they say, well, what kind of dancing do you do? And I say, well, I'm a Tangerine Tangent, by the way, nice to meet you. And I'd say, well, by the way, but speaking of dancing, I don't do it exactly what you'd call a dance. It's more of a routine. Then I'd go off just like this. And maybe I could eventually, I don't know if I'm being to the kicking, the high kicking, and that kind of thing. And I don't, like I've talked about this before, the few dancing instructions I found, or even, dancing instruction. This is what I've heard from dancing instructors, Pilates instructor, yoga instructor. It's been a while since I've done any of those, but in all of those, they said, well, you got to move. Okay, move your hips. And I'd try, and I'd say, and they'd say, no, roll your hips. Just shake your hips. And I'd say, I my mind-body connection with my hips is, at this point, I haven't developed it. Every once in a while, I'd give one, they'd say, well, pretend your spine's like a string of pearls and lower your lower back. I could get that one down. But I think that's my pelvis. And as far as I know, my pelvis and my hips may be two different things. They may be connected or interconnected. And also, my hips is a place for me, for me or my dancing partners. But, I guess in that kind of situation, the instructor says, well, let me show you. Can I touch your hip? And I say, no. I get giggly. You can't touch my hips. I think in a dancing instruction, they usually just will do they say, okay, what about this? This is your hip here. And then I would go, a googly, googly, goo. Because my hips, I say, well, yeah, you can't. And they'd say, then I guess that would contradict myself, though. Maybe that's what they were doing. I just didn't realize it. They say, see, you can feel your hips. And I'd say, feeling them and jerking them because they're ticklish and moving them with the instruction of my mind are much different things. That could be another, the hip conundrum. Did Agatha Christie already write that one? Is there anyone right? This is not a joke. And also, if it's not a joke, I'm calling dibs on this. What about retirement home, retirement community mysteries, the hip conundrum? Maybe that'll be for our next series. Okay, I'm already going to do it. I'm moving forward with that idea. I think that, well, anyway, I'm on a bit of a tangerine tangent, so I need to pull myself back here and find her within me. Get to the center of my outfit here. But that'll be for our next series. That's a perfect setting. Where was I? Oh, if you're a new listener here, welcome. Sorry about that. Went on some early tangents. What can you do when your inner showgirl awakens? You must respond to her call. Where was I? So if you're new, here's a couple of things to expect. Tangents, whether they're tangerine tangents or superfluous ones, they'll be there. Structurally, what the show starts off with a few minutes of business, then we have an intro. Intro is around 12 minutes. I think we're already 7 minutes into this one. There's a show. Oh, there's an intro, then a little business, and then we'll be talking about The Good Place, season 3, episode 6, I believe. Ballad of Donkey Doug, maybe the best title of The Good Place episode ever. And hopefully it'll be like an album release from old 97s, is Willie Nelson maybe? I don't know. So part of my brain just yelled out in the background, some peanut gallery brain just said Don Knotts. And I said, no, Don Knotts, I don't know if Don Knotts is still with us. Probably, I'm just guessing, maybe he's in the Big Farm. But I don't think Don Knotts is going to be singing a country, the Ballad of Donkey Doug. Though you could be like a modern day Don Knotts. I think Donkey Doug actually is a modern day Don Knotts, or Jason and Donkey Doug are. Okay, where was I? I was trying to explain the structure of the show. We'll be talking about The Good Place. It will be kind of analyzing in an indirect way. There will be spoilers because I'll be kind of barely talking about the plot and stuff. And then after that, I'll talk about some specific subjects that came up and do some research. Yeah, but it'll be pretty indirect and calming and bedtime story-like. Yeah, so that'll be that part. What else? Then there'll be some thank yous at the end. That's the structure show. Also, if you're new, you don't need to listen to this show. Podcast, you don't need to pay attention to. You can, but you don't need to. I'll be here just to take your mind off stuff and to keep you company. But there's also no pressure to fall asleep. If you can't, fall asleep whenever you do, listen to me at whatever volume or paying attention level you want. But obviously, if you were listening and you heard about those multiple, you say, well, he says he's a dancer named Tangerine Tangent. First question is, do I have a tangerine scent on? Of course. I would say my outfit is it has hints of tangerine, to be subtle. And also, Rindy Rhinestones. I wonder if anybody ever said that. I'm the Rhinestone Cowboy. Rhinestones? No, Rhinestones. I actually dry out rinds of tangerines and other citruses. And then make those into a rhinestone-like thing out of the rinds. They're not shiny, obviously, and they're pretty tough. That's why I'm tough. I'm the rhinestone cowboy. And this is also another part of my being. Who was I? Tangerine Cafe? No, that's a restaurant. The Adventures of Tangerine Tangent and the Rhinestone Cowboy. Coming soon. Coming soon, nowhere. Where was it? Oh, structure show. That's a structure show. You don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here about an hour. If you can't sleep, I'll be here till the very end to keep you company. Because that's what I do. I'm here to help you fall asleep, to be your friend as you drift off. So that's the structure of the show. And I think that's kind of it. Give it a few tries. That's what most listeners say. They say on the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth try, Scoots made less and less sense, and I realized that that's who Scoots is. He's our boar friend, our boar bud, our boar bay, our boar cuz, our boar sib, our boar bruh. He's Tangerine Tangent and the Rhinestone Cowboy. He's the, what did I say? The sentient hip, the hip what would I say? The hip that didn't dance? Whatever it was, He's also that the hip that missed dancing. Maybe it could be a series. The pelvic floor that was a dance floor. That sounds strange, but it just popped in my brain. So what can I say? So whether you know who Don Knotts is or you don't know, or you say, well, I don't even watch The Good Place, it'll still put you to sleep. It'll still be here to keep you company with some friendly banter. And here's a couple other things. I really appreciate you coming by, and I really strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. I'm going to work very hard. I'm going to be here. So thanks again for checking out the show. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show a-going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, from Yulon, it's time to talk about episode 6 of season 3 of The Good Place, The Ballad of Donkey Doug, maybe one of my favorite titles of an episode ever, of anything, except for, you know, Scooter's Great and the Greatest of All Time, which was a podcast episode that was never released. But Eleanor, speaking of Eleanor's shoes, we were talking about them last episode. I think they're Adidas. They only have two stripes, though, so they may be some other brand. I believe it's a deep, deep navy or a black stripe shoe. White shoe. Very Stan Smith-esque, but probably some details I didn't pick up there. Eleanor's, and we see Eleanor's feet are up on Chidi's desk. She's kicked back totally in chill, 100% chill mode, really relaxed and having fun, talking to Janet about the past. My notes here say good mood. She's talking about Kylie Mansnard. And Nathan Burlingame. I like that. They really do a good job at naming things. Nathan Burlingame is a name that I'd like to say again and again. And this might be a stretch because it's not 100% Roy G. Biv. Maybe her shirt's the opposite Roy, red. Horn, Roy. Yeah, it's a reverse from bottom to top. Okay, whoa. We got some action here on Eleanor's shirt.
because they said, is it a rainbow? It is. It's a reverse rainbow. Roy, red, orange, yellow, G, green, biv, blue, indigo. It would be blue, indigo, violet if indigo and violet are considered, which sometimes they are different shades of the same color. I mean, no offense, indigo or violet. I don't believe that, but I'm just saying it because Eleanor's shirt actually has only six stripes, where Roy G. Biv has seven things. But it is a rainbow. It just starts, instead of going top to bottom, it goes Roy G. Biv. It goes whatever, however, Vib G. Your. Yeah, Biv G. Vib G. Your. Why, Roy, are your. You can play this podcast in reverse sometimes, I guess. And rainbows are in the sky. So again, you know, I'm projecting meaning, but, you know, Eleanor's clothing is related to a great look off of Janet and Eleanor's confidence. Someone says good news. Chidi says it because he says, you know, now I'm free and easy. I'm surprised Eleanor didn't have a quip for that one because he's no longer working for the university. Also, he has to break up with Simone. But he can't lie, but he, you know, this is a lie of exclusion because she thinks he has laryngitis. Also seemed like Janet's learning from Eleanor because she's so impressed with Eleanor's confidence. I wonder over the rest of the season what influence, romantic influence, Eleanor's confidence and swagger will have on Janet and Jason, you know, if any. You know, but if not, you can always check out my other podcast, Janet and Jason, it's tentatively called Janet and Jason After Dark, because that's what I call all of those things. Janet and Mace in the privacy of his butthole. Anyway, I haven't written it yet because I don't have time, believe it or not. Yeah, Janet and Jason and Jason's butthole. Okay, where was I? Went off topic. Chidi has to break up with Simone. Can't lie. Janet's learning from Eleanor. Impressed with her confidence. Bing. Oh, Janet has to do her own bings now. Janet's going to build a simulator. There's a lot of laughs in this with Janet's turning around. Then we see chapter 32. We're at Randy Macho Man Savage Non-International Airport in Jacksonville. And Jason says, Jacksonville, what up, Duvar? I don't know. I have to Google what he said because I can't figure it out. Duvar? He doesn't say Bortles. And everyone says it back to him. It's not Bortles backwards. Tahani says, poor Larry. And intro, den of line. She's reading Us Weekly or Us Weekly. Which was an article by her and Larry. And the back is an ad for a Gary Perillo book, Den of Lions. Actually, I got to box that to make sure I looked that up. And it says, here's the quote on Us Weekly. Larry Hemsworth blows it again. It's over. Tahani says, ta-ha-ta-ta. Set them free. Or something. But Tahani says, ta-ta. So poor Larry. Then we talk about laser pointers, Pillboy. This is a big reveal. Is this when it's revealed that Donkey Doug is, Donkey Doug dad drop. Tahani says, I'm sorry, the man you call Donkey Doug is your father. Just a really classic. He says he's had mistaken identities with Buzz Lightyear issues. He's big into get-rich-quick schemes, counterfeit truck nuts. Michael, so it's this soul squad is Michael, Tahani, and Jason. Yeah, so he was trying to get his electrician's license at some point. We see a monster truck taxi. Yeah, Michael laughs when the taxi, I think when he sees the taxi, he's just laughing with joy as it does monster truck moves. We go to Donkey Doug's apartment, which is very hilarious. And then he finally says, come on in. Then we get to see Janet's VR machine, which has, she says, it also has Tetris, which I thought was funny. And, she does this thing where you enter into the virtual reality via tone. It tricks your brain into thinking the VR is real. I did put, would this work? And then Eleanor has questions about the VR with Jason Statham, futons, and Red Bulls. And they talk about, which is interesting. There's a lot of great articles about it. I don't know if I'll get to it in the research section of like how technology and PORN develop in line with one another. And then I put tone to trick brain question mark, creaky dulcet tones. Anyone? Then we have a cheaty breakup sequence. What does that say? Infraction can't, infraction cat, infection can't say. That didn't go great. Infection can't say. But he says, you know, I can't say. I got information, and I can't say what it is. So it doesn't go great, even the simulations. So then they talk about Donkey Doug going, real, straight electrician. He goes, later for that or something. I love Pillboy comes out of the bedroom. I love his style, for real. Both him and Donkey Doug have like long shorts on. I'm not sure what you call those, capris or short pants. I don't know. I have to look it up. But Donkey Doug has two different layers of kind of tropical look that really looks good on him, a shirt and a jacket. So I liked his look. There's lots of signs, street signs, or mostly safety signs. Decorating Donkey Doug's apartment. There's a 970 sign, Florida 970. I said to look that up. And they introduce a product, like kind of like on Shark Tank, Double Trouble. And they say, well, what do you use it for? And they say, you bolt it. Cheaty is back in his office with Eleanor trying to plan. And make, Janet says, I made some modifications to the thing, and there's some smooth jazz. There's just these great little moments that are visual humor, and this is one of them. Janet points at Cheaty, and Cheaty makes, like, this impressed face with just the smooth jazz, which Janet points to Cheaty on. Okay, then we go through resets. They say, well, if you want to reset the simulation, just snap your fingers. And between resets that Cheaty does and I think Eleanor does, there's 5, 6, 7 resets. The last one on a puppy named Martin. And they're all doing it in this cafe. A couple of lemons on a plate with a spoon. Flour on the, 2 different flowers on the table. Trying to see what the background. There's an old man behind Cheaty right now. Still an old man. Now he's at a table with another man. And now the same old man sitting down. Maybe it was he's sitting down with a woman that time. Now Cheaty's proposing. This is part of one of the reboots. One thing I haven't been doing tracking this season is Cheaty's been wearing a lot of sweater vests. And he has a nice gray, it seems to be a wool sweater vest on. Is that what it is? A sweater, sleeveless sweater. What is it? Is that a sweater vest? No buttons. He has a tie on, maybe a knit tie. Some beautiful pants, like a wine-colored pant and then a stylish blue dress shirt with dots on it. Now Eleanor is VRing as Simone and saying, you're doinking or something. Have Eleanor do it. Matches her sweater. What does that mean? Your ex. Oh, then Eleanor goes in now as she goes in as Cheaty into the simulation to talk to Simone. And, oh, the painting matches her sweater. And they say, your accent is so cute. Your accent is so cute. What is happening? Then we cut to the pool. Raspberry respungence. Raspberry perspirant. These are the flavors of double trouble, or the smells. Flavor and smell, yes, yeah. Raspberry perspirant, cedarwood melon blast, and a 24-hour lemon musk extreme. Also, there was a flyer for the electric who's it or woo's it jam. I don't know if any of the dance teams danced in that. I was just got to look at this. So there's a lot of shots of the pool outside of Donkey Doug's apartment. He lives in a most, I've lived in an apartment building like this, like a motel style apartment, like around an outdoor pool, kind of similar, popular in California. Yeah, I think, who lived there? You know, who lived in one was the Karate Kid, in the original Karate Kid. And in this one, I keep trying to pause it here so we can see the pool and get a little overview of the pool. There's a man floating in the pool in a blue pool float, napping. Yeah, a blue striped one. Looks a little bit like Derek, to be honest. And then he has a cooler, which is a forest friend floating cooler. Looks like a lot of cans. And then there's a lot of solo cups, a chair, a couple chairs in the pool, like at the bottom, you know, in case you want to, like I like to sit at the bottom of the pool and pretend I'm having a tea party. Maybe some blue solo cups in the pool. I can't tell what the other thing is. One piece of lawn chair hanging off the side. It looks like the Derek type person, maybe his flip-flops are on the side of the pool. But I also see another chair that has a towel on it. Then there's a woman sunning. There's about 8 solo cups next to her. There's a lot of towels around the whole apartment building. Pretty realistic looking apartment building. Australia or LA could be. Definitely the kind of place you'd say, yeah, that makes sense that Donkey Doug lives there. Okay, so we get back, sweater so cute, raspberry perspirant, electric. Pillboy does a real-time day. He says, if I had money, first of all, they take out these, like, microwave burritos or something, and they serve everybody or something. Maybe they're Hot Pockets. Oh, they are Hot Pockets, it looks like. Yeah, so they serve out the Hot Pockets, and Pillboy's holding like a plush forest friend tiger. But he does this. They say, well, if I had money, these are the things I'd do. He does it in real time. Who's the characters again? What are the characters' names? Not Jason, not Tahani. But Michael says, listen, we don't need a sleep with me day, minute by minute. They don't say sleep with me, but he says, I don't need a minute by minute version of your day. But really good details, it really is true to character, because Pillboy was excited about getting up, going down, eating breakfast, having to go to the store, opening the fridge, saying we need milk, getting in my car, driving to go get milk. I don't know, just a little bit of extra connectivity, especially connected to Jason, how he said last episode, this little bit of money would have made a big difference. It seems to be the same for Pillboy. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, but Jason, Donkey Doug says, why won't you believe in me, Jason? And I think somebody says, well, maybe you should reach for the stars on the right, maybe this is part of being on the right path. And they said, well, we got to go to a few factories to get supplies, you know, borrow them from a energy drink factory, a cologne factory, and a bottle factory. And they say, maybe this is a lost cause. So three of the Soul Squad has a meeting. And Jason goes, I have an idea. Will you help me? And they say, yeah, that's the whole idea. And then it's just very, Tahani says, what's your idea, darling? Then we have our second Nemo-themed restaurant I was aware of, French Pressing Nemo Cafe. Save Pill Boy. So I guess I'm jumping around. Chidi's at the Nemo Cafe with Eleanor as a coach. She says, okay, and I just did, is this a real double question mark? I think this is real. But so, I'm just noticing Simone has a really nice suede style purse backpack. Not that it might be, probably not real suede, but iced tea is what Simone orders. Chidi orders a water. Sugar, yes. There's also a big, like, cupcake container on a shelf over Chidi's shoulder. Like, I didn't know if it was, like, a cookie jar or, like, a tin cupcake cupcake-themed container. Looked like a cupcake. Not to store cupcakes, necessarily. More to evoke the spirit of cupcakes. But, let's see. Helmet comes. He's trying to take their order. And nothing goes well. Chidi ends up saying, you dumped, also, there's a tablecloth was purple. And we see Pillboy in action. We learn it's one word, Pillboy, P-I-L-L-B-O-I, because we see him at work at a retirement community helping people, like, with their meds, saying, hey, well, this or this, and maybe take this with, like, not that he's a doctor, believe me. And this is really well set, well-designed set. Really looks realistic. There's a popcorn machine, even. Let's see. So then Tahani says, change in plans. Pillboy gives good advice. Tahani says, change of plans. You're staying here. You're not involved in any of this energy drink stuff. And that's what Jason wants. And he says, okay. And he says, pills for Tahani. Then Chidi's stressed. No more simulators, I think Eleanor says. And she says, you know what? Simone's a badass. She'll do fine. If you want to talk to her one time, go be a person. Meanwhile, in the background, Janet's using the simulator. And Eleanor's like, I got to go. Eleanor wants to go to specific steam room. A specific Lenny Kravitz concert. And I'll let you watch the episode to see what Janet is, steam room thing. But she says, that's a bug in the system, by the way. Then we're at the first, Jason goes to help Donkey Doug. But he says, you know what, I'm trying to save Pillboy. And they get busted. And Donkey Doug says, I'm going to do what my dad did for me. His dad did for him and his dad did for him. I'm going to let you get away, Jason. And he goes, thanks, call me, and he says, call me Donkey Dad. And then he goes, you know what, no. And he says, call me Donkey Doug, but even better than that. And then he runs out and he says, Bortles. Then we're back with Chidi and Simone, and he just says, my feelings have changed. Can't explain more than that. She says, well, you seem to know what you want, which is rare for you. And she goes, well, I'll see you in the next life. And then she's like, what do you know? What do you know? And she goes, dude, you are so weird. Then we have Michael with Pillboy giving him a secret message, a mission. And then we see Tahani and Jason are with him. They say, yeah, we're secret astronauts for NASA. And there's this deep emotional moment with in a 2-minute handshake with Pillboy and Jason. Really crying it out with their friendship and love for one another, you know, indicating a change of heart with Pillboy. And he says, I love you, man. Then we're in Budapest, hooray or something. Oh, Budapest, Hungary. And they say Soul Squad's on a roll. And they're there to deal with Tahani's sister, whose name, of course, escapes me, like, even though I know it, it's escaping me right now. Quentin, no, I almost had it. It was in my brain. It just didn't make it to my mouth. Camilla's her name, right? I think. Eleanor, then we find out about Eleanor's mom still being around town. And Eleanor says, I'm sorry, Tahani, I can't deal with Camilla. I got to go back. I got to leave Budapest and deal with my mom. You know, help her to grow eventually or something. And that's how the episode comes to a close. Another good one. So we'll do some research of what came up on the episode next. Let's take a look at some of the things that came up this episode. One was like energy drinks. And I said, you know, I've had energy drinks and I'm familiar with them. But what does Wikipedia say about energy drinks, right? Of course you want me to check that, Scoots. Yes, I do. You know, it's a drink. It could have caffeine or something else to provide mental or physical stimulation, marketed as energy, but distinct from food energy. May or may not be carbonated, may or may not have sugar or sweeteners, herbal extracts, taurine, and amino acids. It's a subset of a larger group of energy products, bars, gels, distinct from sports drinks, which are advertised to enhance sports performance. There are many brands and varieties. Coffee and tea are not considered energy drinks. Cola may take caffeine, but it's not an energy drink either. There are ones that might have some extra, like alcohol in them. According to Mayo, okay, let's see. You could have about 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. That's what Mayo Clinic says. Which is like 4 cups of coffee or 5 cans of energy drink. So good news for Jason. He's above board. Pillboy and Donkey Doug. Energy drinks have effects from caffeine and sugar. No, they're not sure on the other ingredients. Let's see, combined, they say, may help with strengthen endurance, but no evidence. And they say, I don't know about, to be honest, I don't think you should have 4 Donkey Dog a day. Let's see what else it says. They say, well, it's popular with, people that have it. I'm just trying to figure out when the first one was, I mean, first they had them like the original soda was energy drinks. And you could look into that history. Early in Japan in the 60s, there was a brand, Jolt Cola, 1985. That may have, marketing strategy was based on the caffeine content. In 95, Josta was launched by Pepsi. Europe, there was something called Power Horse, that became before Red Bull, which is popular, that launched in 97, it had 47% of the market in 2005, in New Zealand, Australia, V is popular, 60% of the market, let's see, UK, sold at lower prices than the soft drinks, mostly produced by Canadian beverage maker. Tesco has KX, formerly known as Kick. Sainsbury's Blue Bolt, Asta Blue Charge. So it's a popular thing, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. They contain... caffeine, vitamin B, carbonated water, sugar, guarana, yerba mate, acai, taurine, ginseng, a bunch of other stuff. So this is a little bit about energy drinks. What about Randy Macho Man Savage? It was a Randy Macho Man Savage non-international airport that they landed in Jacksonville. And Randy Savage... was born Randy Mario Poffo, P-O-F-F-O, in 1952. He was with us until 2011. He was in WWF, WWE, and WCW. He's regarded as one of the greatest professional wrestlers in history. He had a deep and raspy voice, a flamboyant ring attire. Often used pomp and circumstances as entrant music. He had an entrance phrase, ooh, yeah. He was managed by his real life wife, Miss Elizabeth. He won 29 titles in 32 years, 2 WWF heavyweight championships, 4 WCW heavyweight championships, and a one-time WWE Intercontinental heavyweight champion. He was named by WWE as the greatest title holder of all time and brought a higher level of credibility. He was 1987's King of the Ring, won 1995's WCW WW3, headlined WrestleMania's 4, 5, and 8, as well as 5 SummerSlams, Starrcade. And he was as popular as the famous Hulk Hogan. He was also signed by the St. Louis Cardinals as a catcher out of high school. Played in the minor leagues. He was placed in the minor leagues. One of his teammates was also his roommate, and they would swing a bat into a hanging car tire as a regular exercise to get stronger. And Savage, '74 was the last season. Yeah, then in '73 was when he first got into wrestling. He had different characters and worked his way up over the years. Yeah, very popular. And all the different WWEF, all these different things. Looks like he retired, then came back, yeah, he was busy. We weren't allowed to watch that when we were kids because we would act out after watching it, so we would try to sneak and watch it. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Eleanor's shoes this season and trying to figure out, for me, what they are, which probably is pretty obvious, but I found this article from trademark and copyright blog.com, and I'm just going to barely fair use it, but it was written March 16, 2016 by Natasha Reed. Adidas to trademark competitors, 2 stripes, you're out. And basically they said, hey, this 3-stripe design is ours and you can't copy it. And the European Union even gave them a further range of protection than U.S. courts, saying that even 2 stripes, created by a Belgian company, was too confusingly similar to Adidas' 3-stripe design. Yeah, the difference between 2 and 3 stripes is a minor. So they said, hey, this is our brand is these stripes. From this article, from Adidas' point of view, the widespread speculation of its brand with striped sneaker designs may make both these results no-brainers. But what if the stripes between the plaintiffs and the defendants differed in the U.S. case? Would it be more challenging if the overall look of respective shoe designs are different? Oh, so it's because the shoe looks similar and it has stripes. And they actually have pictures. Okay, so I can even see their point. Like, it's like, they said even in 2008, a jury found them... people were copying their design and the stripes on top of it. So just a little bit more about it as I try to figure out eventually. What about laser pointers? Those came up in this episode, and I said, let me learn more about laser pointers, or laser pens, according to Wikipedia. A handheld device with a power source, usually battery, and a laser diode emitting a very narrow, coherent, low-powered laser beam of visible light intended to be used to highlight something of interest by illuminating it with a small spot, bright spot of colored lights. Power is not to exceed 5 mW. Beam itself is relatively invisible in a clean atmosphere, showing only a point of light. Higher power or high frequency green or blue lasers may produce a beam visible in clean air because of Raleigh scattering from air molecules, especially in moderate to dimly lit conditions. Oh, that's good. Low cost of IR diode laser modules has created a generation of IR pumped frequency doubled green, blue, and red, and violet diode-pumped solid-state laser pointers. But because the invisible IR component of these beams of these visible layers is difficult to filter out, it also can make it tougher to put in a small laser pointer package because they get too warm. Laser pointers are a potent signaling tool, even in daylight. And they should be, could be routinely carried in a kit, you know, when you need to get a hold of somebody. Let's see. Colors and wavelengths. Early laser pointers were helium neon gas lasers, generated laser radiation at 633 nanometers. The least expensive of these was a deep red laser diode in the 650 nm wavelength. Then you could have red orange, but those were more expensive. Then green was the most common alternative. Then 2005 blue at 473 nanometers, and then Blu-ray, actually violet, 405 went on sale in 2010. The apparent brightness of a spot from a laser depends on the power of the laser, the reflectivity of the surface, and the chromatic response of the eye looking at it. Outputs of laser pointers are usually in MWs. We talk about the different ones. Green. I'm big into purple and blues myself, but those sound like, you know, different things. You use them for pointing, industrial and research, leisure and entertainment, you know, laser light shows, playthings for cats, ferrets, and dogs. However, this one says laser pointers have a few applications beyond pointing in the wider entertainment industry. And many venues say, don't bring them, like, to our venue. Because, you know, we got our own lasers or whatever. So that's just a little bit about it. It doesn't say anything about the Christmas ones like I have in green and red, but I assume that's like, you know, those are a type. Another thing that came up with this episode was trying to make Donkey Doug into an electrician. And I went to howstuffworks.com, how to become an electrician. This is by How Stuff Works contributors. And they say, like many professionals, there's two kinds of electricians, generalists and specialists. The latter could be commercial, industrial, or maintenance. But regardless of category, electricians must be able to perform electrical repairs and maintenance in both business and residential buildings. They could also be trained to work on building assessment, connectivity, heating and security systems, and more. Becoming an electrician entails entering a certified apprenticeship program. And before that, you have to be 18, have your high school diploma or your GED, 1 year of high school algebra, be in excellent physical shape, and have a clean system. This is according to this article. Then you have to decide what kind of electrician you want to be, generalist or specialist. Join an apprenticeship program sponsored by the IBEW, or the NECA, or the IEC, and they offer both classroom courses and on-the-job training. It takes 4 years of apprenticeship. You could also, and that seems like a lot of those are paid, so look into that. It's a great opportunity, really. I used to try to encourage the kids I was working with to look at that as a possible great vocation. You could also earn a certificate in a technical vocational school or training academy. You'll learn classroom theory in the vocational school and then look for an apprenticeship, develop the on-job skills. So I don't know about that as so much, because those might be a for-profit business. You also have to continue your education and keep up to date with technology, changes to code, latest developments. You got to get a license for state and local governments. You got to train to be a supervisor or manager. So that's just some stuff about being an electrician that Donkey Doug would probably have to deal with at some point. What about monster trucks, right? The monster truck is a cat taxi, so it picks them up at the airport. And I saw this, so there's a Monster Jam. That seems like the big monster truck thing. It looks like there's three different tours I looked here. There's the Stadium Championship Series. Let's see, the Triple Threat Series, Central, East, and West, there may be, and then there's the Arena Championship Series. So there's a lot of different tours. Let's take a look at one of these Stadium Championship Series. It looks like this one has a Ditch Digger, Jester, TBA, a dragon, puppy, Megalodon, Headturn, El Toro Loco, Black Stallion, Overfun Evolution, Overboard, the Black Pearl, and let's see what places they're hitting. San Antonio, Glendale, San Diego, Anaheim, Houston, Miami, Atlanta, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Knoxville. Looks like the Triple Threat is a little bit smaller of a group of people. And let's see what the Arena Championship Series is. Oh, Albany, New York is coming up here. Yeah, they have like a different Scooby-Doo. There's a Scooby-Doo one. Bad News Travels Fast. Monster Mutt. Pretty Wicked. Forest Friend. Barbarian. Ditch Digger. Albany, Hampton. This is like the Fish Tour. It really, the Fish went from Albany, Hampton. So does Monster Jam. And then they go on from there, touring around. So, yeah, that's a little bit about it. Let's look up, like, just what Wikipedia says about Monster Trucks. Oh, that's still Monster Jam. Excuse me. They're very good at getting me to click more about who's selling tickets for them. A Monster Truck is a pickup truck with a larger suspension, larger tires, usually for recreational uses. Sometimes pickup trucks are used. However, SUV bodies are and theme trucks. And they're made of fiberglass. They could be from car bodies, SUV bodies, even animal-themed bodies. Competition monster trucks should meet guidelines 12 feet tall, 12 feet wide, and as of 2015, have 462-pound, 66-inch off-road tires. And they're popular. The shows typically have two main events, a race and a freestyle competition. Races are a single elimination tournament on two short symmetrical dirt tracks. And they jump over cars, of course. In freestyles, they do, it's a freestyle show. Backups, wheelies, jumps, stunts, donuts. So it's a little bit about it. It's a history that's been since the 70s. And I think it got bigger and bigger. Maybe in the 80s and the 90s. So it's a little bit about monster trucks or friend trucks. Here's a little bit about virtual reality. This is from vrs.org.uk. Just a history of it. It started with panoramic paintings. Then you had stereoscopic photos and viewers, including the Viewmaster in 1939. But the stereoscope was in 1838. Then the 1929, the Link Trainer, which was a flight simulator. Then science fiction predicted VR in the 30s. Then Sensorama in the 50s, which was an arcade theater cabinet with all the senses. 3D, fan, smell generators, vibrating chair. So that sounds pretty cool. Then the 60s had the first head-mounted VR. And they just kept doing iterations on it over the years. 1987, the name virtual reality was born. Let's see. Jason Lanier coined the term. Then 91 started arcade games. 92, Lawnmower Man was a movie. Sega had VR in 93. Game Virtual Nintendo in 95. Matrix in 99. So just a little bit about the history of VR there. Okay, here's something that came up with like Pillboy and Donkey Doug both had like capris on, like long shorts or capris. And I said, what's the difference between capris, culottes, and cropped? This is from Stitch Fix Style blog. I just wanted to get it straight. Capris are a traditional style pant with an inseam that goes to mid to lower calf length. So, cropped is a hemline that stops at your ankles. Then culottes can be varying in length from mid-calf to the ankle. A wider silhouette, though, and a breezy piece, and good for rising temperatures in the summertime. So I'm glad they cleared that up for me, totally. What about Florida Route 970? They had a sign in Donkey Doug's apartment. It's actually from Miami, State Route 970, the downtown distributor. It's an elevated freeway. It's only a half mile, connecting 95 and Biscayne Boulevard in downtown Miami. And co-signs with U.S. Route 1, U.S. 1, State Route 5. It existed since 1968. It's average daily traffic volume of 34,000 in 2007 and 37,500 in 2015. That made me think about Florida State Route A1A, which I think was like Beachfront Avenue in a song. That's a north-south Florida state road, State Route A1A, SRA1A. It runs along the Atlantic Ocean from Key West at the southern tip to Fernandina Beach, just south of Georgia. So it is Beachfront Avenue. It's designated part of it the A1A Scenic and Historical Coastal Byway, a national scenic byway. So check it out. It looks like it has a lot of beautiful views. It's heavily associated with Florida beach culture and known for its lush tropical and subtropical scenery and ocean vistas. In many places, it runs directly along the waterfront of the Atlantic Ocean. In other places, 1 to 5 blocks inland from the beachfront. It's also been known as the backbone of Florida's spring break in Fort Lauderdale and Daytona Beach. So maybe you've kicked it on A1A Beachfront Avenue. Maybe you've kicked it with the ice baby person. Let's see what else we have here. Shark Tank is a TV show that I've only watched on airplanes. And it's a reality TV show. It's been around since 2009 on ABC. It's a franchise of the international format Dragon's Den, which started in Japan in 2001. It has aspiring entrepreneurs as they make a business presentation of 5 investors who choose whether or not to invest as partners. It's been a rating success, won the Primetime Emmy for Structured Reality Program 4 times. In that category, and then 20 twice for Outstanding Reality Program. 10th season, started his 10th season in 2018, produced by Mark Burnett, and similar to the Japanese and British versions, panel, there's Robert, there's Kevin, who had previously had been on the Canadian version, Barbara, Damon, Lori, Mark, and Kevin. And so 2 Kevins. You know, they try to be nice. Sometimes they don't. They make deals. Now it's even a marketing term, you'll see. Let's see if I can find any other stats here. I don't know. It's when I watch on the thing, there's been Charles Barkley's been on it. Chris Sacca, it's interesting. Jeff Foxworthy. So those are in early seasons. Let's see this season. A-Rod, Bethany Frankel, Sarah Blakely, Charles Barkley, Matt Higgins. So it's a popular show. It'd be hilarious if I was on there. They'd say, what? And they'd say $10 billion, please, for one, I don't want to be told what to do. So very small percentage. Okay, what about Lenny Kravitz? That's the last thing I wanted to talk about, who's entertained multiple generations of people in multiple different ways. And I'd say, hey, are you going to go my way or what? Lenny Kravitz, born Leonard Albert Kravitz in 64. You know, I know him as Zoe's dad. Yeah, but some people know him as Lenny. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. But He won the Grammy 4 years in a row for best male rock vocal performance from 99 to 2002. And he played Cinna in Hunger Games. That's what I was saying. He's really, he's born in Manhattan. Let's see what else we got here. Started playing music 89, 90 was debut on Virgin Records. Oh, he worked with Carl Denson. That's cool. Let's see. So Let Love Rule was a debut album in 89. Rock and funk with a 60s vibe. Critics were mixed. Lisa Bonet directed a music video for Let Love Rule. Then he was opening for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Bob Dylan, and David Bowie. Holy mackerel. Let's see what else. 91, I produced the song Justify My Love for Madonna, which was on the Immaculate Collection. Let's see. So then, you know, it was a really great career musically, ongoing career. And let's see. Then all the way through the aughts, the 90s aughts, early 10s, he was working with U2. Then he became, you know, joined up with the Hunger Games cast, which was really great. Great performance in the Hunger Games. I really enjoyed it. Great casting, very good acting, great costumes, of course. He is a costumer or stylist. In 2014, the 10th album, Strut, came out on Roxy Records. Let's see. 2014, he was with Katy Perry in the 2015 Super Bowl halftime show. And yeah, continues to just rock it. Also Zoe's dad. So, I mean, that's cool. So yeah, that's a little bit about Lenny Kravitz. And, here you go. Let me tuck in a little bit more. Good night. Good night from, me and all this other stuff. And here's some thank yous. All right. I want to thank everybody. If you reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts, Union JAX 54 from Australia says, is there anything beyond the intro? Can't get past the introduction. 5 stars. R. Rain. It must be a brain pop because it says beep boop. 5 stars for better sleeping. Cindy B. says best sleep of my life. Not actually sure how he does this, but as a lifelong insomniac, I can now sleep all night. Dream come true. Alexis Michelle says serenity. 5 stars. Every ounce of anxiety comes out when he says hey every night, and my head hits a pillow. I haven't been sleeping well for years, but this podcast has eased my thoughts, and I can usually fall asleep in 15 minutes. So grateful. Hopefully, if you enjoy this as much as I do, you can become a patron so we can keep falling asleep filled with a sense of calm and comfort. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Here, this comes from Australia. Let's just hug. First time listener, and it was amazing. Usually sleep with my husband and I go to bed while he sits on the computer, watches a movie. So I always have sounds or noise on to fall asleep. I'm 22, but still, you know, not totally comfortable in the deep, dark night. I stayed over at a friend's house while sleeping in a room and it was too quiet. Listened to one episode, fell asleep once and I was comfortable to turn down the volume. I could only just hear the audio. Amazing. I plan to use this podcast whenever I'm struggling to sleep in the dark and silence. Rhea Peach, who I've met in person in Seattle. So shout out to Rhea and her mom. The only thing that helps me sleep, this is the one that puts me to sleep. I put it on, I doze off almost instantly. Gernan Spain says, from Ireland, says, stops my brain buzzing. Love this podcast. Listen to it a lot. Before I started, I would have trouble sleeping because, you know, I got a lot going on in my head and my brain was buzzing. Now I turn on the podcast, listen to Scooby Doo ramble through some stories and I drift off without a problem. Give it a try. Prescription Esquire says I tried it out. Yeah, he did fall asleep faster than normal. I thought the stories were fun and the guy was nice, but I was into the story. Introduction took forever. I found better ones, but it did increase the time I fell asleep. That was 4 stars. This one's from 3 stars, from Mary from Australia. This more sounds like a 1-star review, though. It says, stop the stuttering and slurring. There's a croakiness to your voice that doesn't let me sleep. It's calming for a bit, and then I don't like it. Please try and sorry, that's a bit petty. Enunciate your words a little more, and then it'll be great. Steph from New Zealand says, go to sleep with a friend. I feel like I go to sleep quite quickly, but usually with my head still full of work, and so I end up waking up in the night. This happens to me a lot, Steph, too. Listening to Scooter takes me away from my work, gives me a laugh, and sends me off to sleep with a smile. I hardly ever make it to the story. Sleep right through it. So thank you for that, Steph. Ben Buff says, decades-long insomnia just disappeared. Always had trouble sleeping through the night. Would often spend a couple hours. This podcast has changed that. I still wake up, and I put on an episode. I'm back to sleep before long. Now part of my routine. I'm grateful to have found it. Rico Suave, but Rico like the camera brand, says it's a company that you don't need to entertain. It's like somebody having a relaxing conversation that you don't have to respond to, and you won't feel bad falling asleep on. Amazing. Thank you, Rico Suave. Well, people are really getting creative here. Shay Kreth says, sleeping magic. Podcast has made it easy for me to fall asleep, but both me and my wife love it. I have a lot of anxious stuff, droning voice, gentle cadence, rambling through stories and tangents. Ultimate immediate sleep. Thank you. Oh, they also couple it with white noise or thunderstorms or wind. I do some layered noises, too. Lawrence of Australia says, yes, it's very effective. Enjoy rolling with it. Your mind will tumble, engage, before nodding off. Sleep happens. Pleasantly forgettable, rusty, dulcet tones of wonder. Here's a cat who dialed in. Thomas P. Kitten. Ah. I guess the antidote to my late-night anxiety. The more I listen to these creaky dulcet tones, the faster I relax and fall asleep. Drew, thank you for your creativity, your hilarious sense of humor, and for getting up off the couch to help the Scooter side of you put together your wonderful shows as a service. Thanks, Thomas P. And finally, Grateful to Scoots. This comes from Aaron Acray from 1995. Overactive mind, also have trouble getting to sleep, transitioning to sleepy time activities. It's been that way since I was a kid. Heard about this show from MFM. Now skeptical, but it was a huge help in getting to sleep. Thank you. Thank you everybody out there. Thanks for listening. And Sleeping Me is part of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing over at prx.org. And we're listener-supported by direct listener-support of the show on Patreon and the sponsors. We grow by people spreading the word. So thank you to all of you that do that. You can find out about that kind of stuff over our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. And I'm here to help you fall asleep or to keep you company. So let me tuck you in a little bit more there. And I'm I don't know why the word swirly cue just came in my head, but, cue up another episode. I'll be here. Maybe that'll be the intro that I talk about swirly cues if I do, or swirly Sue, who was at Peggy Sue's wedding. She was a bridesmaid. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes, and nothing in Sleeping Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. Feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.